As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the first post-game edition of the 2022 season of the State of the Nation podcast. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. The Raiders lose their opener to the Chargers 24-19, a game that, you gotta say, the offensive line, we've been warning, I think everybody's known all offseason that the offensive line had reason to be a major issue, and it ended up being one in the opener. Six sacks taken by Derek Carr, under pressure a lot. He throws three interceptions. He fumbles twice. They recovered both of those. But you hate when the offseason storyline is one thing that's the biggest concern all offseason, and then you go into week one, and that's exactly what rears its ugly head.
Yeah, I wrote a story about the offensive line earlier this week. And I remember one comment stood out. He was like, "Hey, man, are they going to pay you to talk about something else?" And I was like, "Hey, I mean, wait till this weekend. We'll see what we're talking about so much." And then we saw it today. Obviously, that wasn't the only reason why they lost, as you mentioned. Carr threw three picks. They also had some missed opportunities. You know, the first drive of the game, they got down in the red zone, and it looked like Derek Carr had Darren Waller, you know, open for a touchdown, threw it behind him, ended up having to settle for three. And every point matters, obviously. I mean, they had a chance, you know, on the final possession or their final offensive possession of the game to go win it. And even with the bad offensive line play and turnovers, if they had, you know, finished a couple of drives better, maybe they're in a different situation. And so, it was just really on offense with this one. The defense, they had a rough first half, but they really settled in there in the second half and then forced four straight stops at a certain point. And so Justin Herbert's going to get his, right? But I think they play well enough to win. So focus on the offense. And, you know, so some of those things are correctable. Like Derek Carr typically isn't inaccurate to that degree and typically isn't a guy that turns the ball over that often. But the offensive line kind of stands out as the one thing is, I mean, how is that suddenly going to magically get better? Like, obviously, they aren't going to be playing, you know, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa or anything like that, you know, every week. And Chargers probably have one of the better defensive lines in the league. But this offensive line looks like it's going to be everything we thought it was going to be.
The one positive I say is that, you know, this is probably, if it's not the best pass rush duo in the league, it's one of the best top three pass rush duos in the league. And like you said, they had a chance in this game. They moved the ball relatively easily. They got into the red zone, but they couldn't finish. And, you know, Carr underthrew a few passes that he normally is not this inaccurate, but his inaccuracy really cost the Raiders in this game. It started with the underthrow to Waller in the red zone. Should have been a touchdown. He couldn't bring it in. And then his first interception, yeah, I keep rewatching it. That could have been a touchdown. If he just put the ball over Drew Tranquil, the two safeties did not get enough depth. Waller would have been running free for a touchdown. And then he underthrew Adams, you know, on a deep pass. That was a pretty difficult pass. But I think if you're going to make that pass, put it in a place where only he can get it or no one can get it. And then the final interception to Renfro, obviously another underthrow. So, you know, he's getting used to a new system. Didn't play in the preseason. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but he was inaccurate, and that ultimately is what cost the Raiders this game.
Yeah, I think the O-line doesn't deserve the blame for this one. I think definitely it's on, and Derek will say it's on me, it's my fault. And this time it was. Definitely, I think he made, like you said, four or five bad passes. The Waller one was an easy touchdown, and I thought you mentioned all the overthrow, the underthrows. But, you know, the O-line has tried four different combinations. And for the most part, I thought they weren't terrible. You can't put them in a situation where the game is on line and they have to defend against, you know, they have to block Mac and Bosa. That's not going to turn out well for you at the end of the game. But it's still an area of concern. But to me, I thought they were – and I think it's all about expectations. I went in with a different probably level than most Raider fans. I didn't think this was a game that they should win. I thought the Chargers were a better team. I thought the Chargers have, you know, their staff intact from last year. They got this, you know, they've improved offensively on their O-line. They got Khalil Mack, so they're better defensively. So I thought clearly the roster was better. Plus they have the continuity, which the Raiders don't have. So I thought it was encouraging that they actually had a chance to win the game. I thought the defense definitely played a lot better second half. So I'm not going to yell about the O-line too much today. I'm sure I will next week and in the future, but today I'm going to focus on some of the positives.
Coming into the game, it almost seems like, obviously they've seen the O-line in the preseason, so it's not the first time they forgot that they struggle in certain areas, but it didn't even seem like they were trying to run the ball early on. They pretty much came out with that game plan that we saw at the beginning of last season when they were just throwing the ball 100 times a game. I think they only ran the ball 7 times in the first half, and the second half, you know, part of it was because they were trailing, but they only ran it six times, even though they were getting some pretty good runs off there. And so it seems like they just have a lack of confidence in the unit. And I mean, anytime I can't remember seeing, you know, four different O-line combinations in the game that it wasn't due to like somebody getting hurt. Like there was just rotations. And so it seems like that right side of the O-line, they really just lack confidence in that side. And if it's going to force them to be that one dimensional where they basically aren't throwing or aren't running the ball, I think we're going to see, you know, situations. That's probably why Carr felt like he had to force it in certain situations because he knows they can't run the ball. So if we're going to gain these yards and score touchdowns, we're going to have to be behind his arm. And so they have to do something, I think, to figure out some kind of offensive balance. Like, you know, Devontae Adams looked great today. They had their moments with the passing offense, but we saw it. They kind of last season, it kind of stalled out when they fell into that trap of just pray and spray, you know, with Derek Carr dropping back 100 times a game with the offensive line being that bad at pass blocking. It just seems like a bad recipe. So I think some sort of alteration needs to change. I'm not trying to overreact too much.
Is that a Deshaun special? Pray and spray? That's a new one for me. I've heard that before. I like that.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Trademark that bad boy. Pray and spray.
I mean, you talk about the running, you know, and that's, I think, with the Chargers, that was a big weakness of their last year. I mean, they were one of the worst rush defenses in the league, and I know they felt like they really addressed that in the offseason, but you know, when that's a question mark of a team coming into the season, I kind of agree with you. I mean, go challenge it, right? Go see if the Chargers are a better run defense. And they didn't really put much of a challenge out there for them.
I keep waiting for Dave Zilio to address the O-line. I've been waiting for 5 months. So maybe now, after the first week of the season, when deals are no longer guaranteed, you can sign veterans and the deals are not guaranteed now after the first week, maybe now he brings in a guard and a tackle. Maybe now he brings in some veteran guys. Clearly, there are guys on the market who may not be your ideal guys, may not, you know, love them, but clearly they can help you and be better than the guys you're using now. So if Lester Cotton's a guy who you use there all preseason, all training camp, then day one you're like, yeah, I'm not sure about you, man. I've got to do this platoon thing. So clearly they're not happy with what they have. I know they say they are, but clearly they're not. So this week they're going to sign two linemen and give them a little bit of money. And if not, then I don't know what's going on. But it has to be at some point. They got to do something.
The interior didn't look too bad from watching from a TV copy. You know, it's a little easier when you get the All-22, you can see the end zone view, but it didn't look bad from what I saw. But man, there were some instances when, you know, Lumino or even Mumford just got ran through like they didn't even exist against Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa. So, I mean, I don't know if Isaiah Wynn is still, you know, possibly out there for a trade, but you know, maybe if you trade a third round draft pick, which is kind of hefty, you might be able to get him, but it looks like a real, real problem spot. I mean, they could always help, but there are times when nobody gets open because you're helping so much that it's easy to get doubles on everybody, you know, so it's a problem.
I mean, even Colton Miller, I mean, there were times, I mean, I know it's Khalil Mack. I mean, Khalil Mack, we all know how good he is, but there were times where Khalil Mack was just was putting Miller on skates too, and that's your best offensive lineman. And like we said earlier, I think Deshaun said it, you know, they're not going to face this pass rushing duo every week. So the panic meter is maybe a little bit higher just because this is the week one matchup, but they've got to find some answers because it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, and whether they add somebody or not, I guess one thing we should mention is center Andre James. He got banged up. It looked like on the final play on offense that they had, and they had to evaluate for a concussion. So he left the stadium in an ambulance, and you could see him in the locker room. He was like wearing shades and seemed like he was very sensitive to light. And so, you know, that's something that he theoretically could get back for next week, but maybe that's something to watch. You know, if he's unable to go, maybe Dylan Parham has to slide over and play center. So
that's not a good thing. I mean, obviously Parham didn't show he was ready in preseason to play center, so that would definitely not be a good thing. So, you got to sign some people. It's time to give up some money and bring some help in.
I said they have, you know, a significant amount of cap space. I think like $16 million or something the last time I checked it. And so it's plenty of room. I mean, I don't know who's great that's out there. Like I've written before that they don't really love who's available, but I have to try something.
You got to love him. You just got to like him now. It's like, sort of like, yeah, it's not about love anymore. It's about you can deal with their issues and give them a big hug.
Like Vic said, with vested veterans, now that we're past week one, the contracts aren't guaranteed. Because that is the tricky thing is if you sign a guy that you don't love, but you just like before week one, you're paying him all year no matter what. Now, you bring in a guy, yeah, give him a shot, give him a couple weeks, don't like him, bring in another guy you kind of mediocre-like, you know, so we'll see what they do.
Clearly, they're using this rotation. They have four different, you know, sets today, so clearly they don't mind throwing guys in and mixing it up. So.
Seven guys earn the right to play, Vic. It's not a rotation because they're trying. Seven guys earn the right to play. Did you not listen to Josh McDaniels after the game? Seven guys earned that right.
That's right. You're right. All right. Again, I'm focusing on the positive, man. This defense, I thought, did a nice job second half. The Chargers are really, really good. I think, I mean, people don't want to hear that, but that roster is really, really good. I think they're clearly right at this point. Clearly a better team than the Raiders are. I think that people are getting mad. I don't care. But and that show today should have not been down to the wire. Today, they should have won that game easily. I'm not sure they kind of, I don't know what happened in the second half. They didn't have the same efficiency. The Raiders played better. But that game shouldn't have been close, I don't think. And it was. And they had a chance to try and win it, but to me, clearly a better team at this point of the season. That's fine. It's week one. There's plenty of time to go, but I would have been surprised if the Raiders won that game today.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers did lose Keenan Allen to that hamstring injury, and offensively, if they have Keenan Allen all game, maybe that makes a difference. But the Raiders did a good job of holding Austin Eckler in check, and I mean, he's a guy that running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield can cause issues, and they did a good job with him.
And they lost two guys. They lost Merrick and they lost Averett early on. So two guys, two of their starting DBs didn't play most of the game. So I give them kudos. And I'm not going to – there's plenty of time to be negative. I'm not going to do it today. Today I'm Joe Positive today.
I thought some of the interior guys played pretty good too. Like Bilal Nichols was good against the run. Andrew Billings was good against the run. He pushed a pocket on a couple of occasions too. So the defense overcame a lot. I mean, you know, to overcome three turnovers and then – to lose two key members of the secondary when you're pretty thin in the secondary, that's a good sign.
I mean, if you're looking for one thing to point out, you know, there's been a lot of talk about who has the best pass rush in the AFC West, between the Chargers and the Raiders. Raiders didn't have any sacks, didn't really. I think they hit Herbert three times. Crosby was getting close a few times there, but they didn't get any sacks. And I mean, granted, the Chargers have. You know, we talk all about the Raiders offensive line. The Chargers have, I think, a really good offensive line. They have their concerns at right tackle. But, I mean, Rashawn Slater in his second year, he was an all-pro as a rookie. You know, and the rest of that line, I mean, Corey Linsley at center, they really like their rookie right guard, Zion Johnson. That was a big difference. It showed that, like, the Raiders have that pass rush juice, but the Chargers had an offensive line that could handle it.
Yeah, they addressed their O-line and the Raiders haven't. So, to me, that was the difference. But, we'll see.
And some people have been freaking out about Chandler Jones, but Rashawn Slater's pretty good. You know, I mean, he was all pro last season for a reason. Chandler Jones obviously is also pretty good, so you like to see him win a little bit more often. But I think another factor in that was Justin Herbert. He was escaping the pocket a lot, which is something that they talked about earlier this week. Even when there wasn't pressure, sometimes he would just start running out for whatever reason. But he typically runs to the right as well, and so it's obviously going opposite from Chandler Jones. And so I think that played a factor. And things too. So
He's pretty good. Herbert's pretty good.
And he's a big-ass dude. Like, he is... I mean, I know, Vic, you have the quote from Chandler Jones. It's like, guys, he's hard to bring down. Like, I have my arms wrapped around his legs, and I still couldn't bring him down. Like, for all the just freak skill he has of being able to throw the ball, I mean, he's a big-ass dude. All of 6'5", strong. He can move around. I mean, he's a problem.
Yeah, he escapes the pocket, and like I think Hobbs said, he throws the ball 70 yards. That's not ideal for a defense trying to challenge him. But yeah, I mean, it's a very tough division. Great quarterbacks, so it's going to be a tough job for this defense. But they show some signs today that they might be up for it. So we'll see.
Yeah, Hobbs was a very positive sign, right? I mean, that one third down pass breakup. I mean, I think he played really, really well throughout the game.
Yeah, and even before the injury to Averett. And we saw Hobbs. It seemed like anyway that when they were in nickel, he would play nickel, and then when they went to base, he would move to outside, and then they would take Everett off and have Yassin at the other corner spot. And so they were already kind of moving them around. But then obviously that comes in handy if you do have injury to a guy like Averett, where you can just put Hobbs outside. He's fine just being out there in that situation. And so yeah, he's one of the obviously at the penalty, whatever with Herbert, that was kind of a dicey call. It could have went either way, really. So I wouldn't knock him too bad for that one. But, he had a really strong game. And I think also, as you mentioned with Eckler, like the run defense, like it was much improved, at least in this game, because that was something last year. Eckler carved him up, not just catching the ball, but ran against him pretty well. And the run defense overall was a little shaky to start last season. So Bilal Nichols seemed like he played pretty well. Andrew Billings, he got shaken up. I don't think we ever found out what that was, but he seemed solid. And Jonathan Hankins rotating in there. And so while the pass rush, wasn't there, the run defense was. And so, again, as we said, really, same thing goes for both sides. The offensive line, they're not going to face this Chargers D-line every game. And the Chargers offensive line is pretty good. Like the Raiders D-line isn't going to have to deal with that every game. And so I wouldn't overreact too much to what we saw in the trenches, more so on the defensive side of the ball. And especially moving forward next week, going up against the Cardinals.
Who have a trash offensive line,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, trash.
I mean, at this point, it's just, the Chargers, they improve the talent on the team. Their second year in this system, second year with the staff, they're just a better team. And to me, they're a Super Bowl contender right now. And, maybe the Raiders could get to that level later on, but they're this first year in this system, first year, a lot of guys playing together. It's going to be a bit of a process.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One thing I kind of talking point I was seeing a lot throughout this game, and I don't think we made much of the fact that the Raiders did not play their top line starters during the preseason. That's pretty standard fare. Carr has not played much during the preseason or at all the last couple of years. You do wonder, in the first year in a new system, if maybe it would have been beneficial. I mean, I don't think it's the difference between them winning or losing this game. I don't think it means he doesn't throw those three interceptions that he's suddenly not underthrowing those passes. But, it's fair to wonder if it might have been beneficial for him to play just a little bit, just to kind of get through the rhythm of the McDaniels offense. And for a guy like, Colton Miller didn't play, for him to see that live game speed before going up against a guy like, Bosa and Khalil Mack in week one.
Yeah, and that's a trade-off. You are obviously trying to keep your star guys healthy. You don't want anything to happen to them, but they might have a little rust in the first game. So, I don't know if that's it, but I think it could have been a factor. And it just seemed like Carr was trying to be so perfect with his pass. Like, he wasn't just letting it rip. And I think that's what causes some underthrows sometimes. We're just trying to be so precise instead of just letting it rip.
It didn't seem like they were having like a ton of communication issues and things. They're just watching it live. So I don't know. I think if they go and score on that final drive, people probably aren't making that point, right? Or even the Ravens, you know, they didn't play starters last year and they beat the Ravens in week one. So I think it's, you know, hindsight's 2020 with that kind of thing. It more so just seemed like Ted said, you know, maybe it was due to the pocket and him not maybe rushing his process a little bit, or maybe not feeling like he could step into some of those underthrows. So I think it was more so just situational than maybe, you know, being rusty or anything like that.
The least surprising stat of the game, Derek Carr throws 37 passes, 17 of them go to Davante Adams. You know, late in the game, Waller and Renfro both finally ticked up to 6 targets each. But for a while, I mean, it was we joked that it was probably going to look a lot like last year's opener where he was targeting Darren Waller and Darren Waller and Darren Waller. And that is kind of what it was. And obviously, I mean, for good reason. I mean, Adams, 10 catches, 141 yards. He got that touchdown. He was incredible. And Waller ended up 4 catches, 79 yards, his first game after the extension, which we haven't talked about that yet. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it was fun at times to see that connection. But I do wonder if Derek will have to kind of balance that out, like over-relying on Devontae.
I asked him about that because Renfro didn't have any targets, I think, for the first, I want to say, almost 2.5 quarters, I want to say. And I asked him, he said that's going to happen based on the game planning. There might be games where he goes, you know, Renfro, and it's based on, and Dante hasn't gotten any passes for a while, so he wasn't worried about it. He thinks you have those guys, 3 guys of that caliber, you're going to make searches where one of those guys kind of gets forgotten about it, not in the game plan, but he said it wasn't like a thing he thought he overcommitted to Devontae or forgot about Hunter Renfro. Just one of those things that's going to happen when you have 3 guys of that, and I think that makes sense. I could see that.
I didn't feel like it was forcing it to Adams because Adams was just, he was getting open. I mean, he... You know, there were some routes he just left guys on the floor. So I felt like he wasn't forcing it. Like in week one against Baltimore, some of those targets were definitely forced. But to me, Adams deserved some of those targets just because he got open.
You can just see the chemistry. Like that one play, the fastball to the pylon, the diving catch, the touchdown, just a great – I mean, they're definitely on the same page. Just there's a reason why they're so happy to be together. And I think his numbers are going to be ridiculous this year, which it'll be fun to watch.
All right, well, let's talk Waller. The Raiders on Saturday morning, wondering if this would happen, when it would happen. They agree to a 3-year, $51 million extension with Waller. You know, they've got him now locked up for 5 years. He's getting that top of the tight end market money. Sure, he's pretty happy. They have the cap space. He's a guy that's important to their offense. So I think it was the right move to lock him in, and now you've kind of got those main targets for Derek Carr locked in for these next few years.
I was kind of wondering early this year, you know, was he going to be the kind of the odd man out, you know, after they started extending everybody. But, you know, they were able to come to agreement on a deal that, you know, it makes him one of the highest paid tight ends, but it's not resetting the market or anything of that nature. And it seems to be structured pretty similar to the other deals where they kind of have this 2 to 3 year window they've created where after that period they can move some guys around or cut guys if things aren't going well and things of that nature. So, you know, I think it's a good deal for both sides. And, you know, as it took a while, but, you know, in the second half, you know, as Waller showed, he's still, you know, a dynamic player when he's healthy out there. And I'm sure people wanted to see him get the ball a little bit more coming off that extension. But I think that was probably more so a product of just the offense in general, not really being in a rhythm and kind of getting off the field quickly at times or getting behind the sticks. Davante Adams getting open, you know, more often. But, you know, I think he's worthy of the deal and showed that today. And kind of also what we're talking about Hunter Renfro, I think that might have been more of a product of, you know, they had to use a lot of heavier personnel sets today, I think, to kind of try to support them in blocking. And Hunter Renfro is not known for his blocking, so it made sense that he wasn't on the field as much as usual. But that'd be something else interesting for Darren Waller. Maybe I think that's probably the one knock against him is he's not a George Kittle or anything of that nature when it comes to blocking. So if he's able to show more of a willingness to do that this year and kind of step up in that area, that can make this deal look even better for the Raiders.
Waller one-on-one against Bosa with the chip help from Derek Carr. Not the finest moment as Davante Adams is trying to throw a pass.
Yeah.
That's a weird call.
Today they used Waller a lot as a Z receiver. Like when they got into heavy formations, Moreau was in at tight end and he was the inline blocker and Waller was split out wide. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that, especially when they help with the right tackle. They're going to keep Moreau in the block, and Waller is going to be, outside, and he's not going to be the main point of attack blocker, but he could be a wing blocker that helps, hopefully not helping with Derek Carr. Yeah, I think that's how they're going to use him. I think that's a smart way of using him too.
I was a little underwhelmed by the play calling. While we always talk about McDaniels and the rings, and this is going to be like all the weapons, and I didn't think they got off to a great start today. But again, there's growing pains, like you mentioned, maybe no preseason games are not quite in rhythm. I thought the reverse call was weird. I thought there were some other calls I wasn't crazy about. I didn't like not going for it at the end of the first half. You had 35 seconds, three timeouts. I mean, you're paying this offense $1 billion, so I think you should be able to, I think you can go 40 yards for a field goal. Plus, you're a great kicker. I think you can be able to go 40, 45 yards in 35 seconds and get a field goal. So I'm sure that Carr threw a pick and it was a little, you want to just turtle up and not go for it. But I think in this case, with this offense, you can't deprive yourself of a chance to score. So it wasn't not a great day for Josh McDaniels, play caller. And again, maybe it's just, a week one growing pains mulligan.
Well, in terms of the season long, who will have more yards, Josh Jacobs versus Zamir White? Well, it's 57-0 right now. Zamir White, no carries. Did he even enter the game at all? I don't know about that.
He played teams. He didn't play in the offense, I don't think. Also, Abdullah. Abdullah's a guy we were talking about as a third down back. I guess we didn't give Brandon Bolden his due respect. He clearly has Josh and knows him well from New England, and clearly he had the spot all sewn up. So I was surprised. I was surprised that just using those two guys, and I was surprised that Josh got most of the carries. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I can imagine that maybe is just a impact of playing Bosa, playing Mac, playing this pass rush, that to put a rookie in there, you want to put the people in there that have more experience, that you trust more in pass protection. Because I think in this game, we joke around like, oh, they've ignored this offensive line. But I mean, they knew going in this game the offensive line was going to be an issue. So I think they probably, a lot of the game plan here was, we've got it has to be geared around what we can do for pass protection. So that could be why we don't see much Zamir White or don't see any Zamir White.
We'll ask Josh next couple of days. Maybe if it were Zamir's pass blocking is, maybe Abdullah's not, that's not his strength. But I think that's a good point. They probably did have Brandon play more often because he is a good pass blocker and they wanted to play safe there. But I thought Josh ran hard. Josh had some nice runs. I mean, I guess tough because the O-line's not very good and it's a tough defense. But that one run up the middle, he showed some of his little wiggle. I mean, he's a good running back. It's never been the question if he's good or not. It's just a question of durability and if he's in his team's future plans. But he's definitely got the talent to make guys miss.
And that's one of the positives too, is when they didn't run a lot, but when they did run, there were some big holes. And that's last season when the offensive line wasn't good, they couldn't even run the ball. Jacobs was getting hit in the backfield a lot, but I thought there were some big holes for him to run. So that might be something they could build on.
Alrighty, guys. Well, I think that'll wrap up our first post-game edition of State of the Nation. The Raiders will get back at it next week. They host the Arizona Cardinals, who got blown out on Sunday by the Chiefs. And
yeah, I was watching Megan Thee Stallion videos, I was really studying her, trying to get the moves down and the song, the lyrics down.
But you were going
to
dance, too?
I had the whole thing going. Yeah, I was going.
Don't need to see Vic doing no Megan Thee Stallion dance routine. No, sir.
Hey, it's all right. They play the Chargers again, so we'll have another chance.
Absolutely not.
I wasn't watching the videos for the dance lessons. Let's make that clear. All right.
Well,
next week.
Raiders are 0-1, but there are some positive signs. Defense played pretty well, especially in the second half. Those four possessions where they held them without points, and then
Derek had a bad day. I don't think that's going to. He didn't have too many bad days. He's not going to miss that many guys that were open, I think. So just gotta chalk it up and move on.
All right, we'll talk to you guys again later this week as we get you ready for the Raiders taking on the Arizona Cardinals.
Later, guys.
Adios. Yada, 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 yada.
Hey, hey! Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.